cameraman is dead.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ukraine. Cameraman Pierre Zakruski was with correspondent Benjamin Hall, who was hospitalized while covering the Russian invasion. Fox News sent out a memo sharing the news about Zakruski and extended condolences to his family. Spacewalking astronauts are making upgrades to the International Space Station while tensions on Earth continue to rise. Rory O'Neill reports.
American astronauts are working outside the space station, Kayla Barron and Raja Chari, doing prep work ahead of the installation of new solar arrays. The work is moving forward with international partners, even as tensions between Russia and the U.S. rise following the invasion of Ukraine. A NASA official said this week the interdependency of space station systems all but guarantees continued cooperation in space.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
COVID-19 remains a serious hazard in the workplace. Continue wearing face coverings in indoor spaces that are accessible to the public. And wash your hands often. If you feel sick, notify your supervisor. Stay home and follow quarantine guidelines. If you contract coronavirus at work, you may qualify for workers' compensation, including medical care and other benefits. For more information, call the Department of Labor and Industries at 1-800-547-8367.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see pretty much rain on and off throughout the day today. We'll also mix in a few thunderstorms as well, so we'll be on the lookout for that. High temperatures around 48, 49 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Chance of light showers flowing through the area again as well. Low temperatures down to about 42. For Wednesday, we'll start the day out with clouds and rain moving to partly sunny skies. High temperatures around 52. Those partly cloudy skies will run off to another front moving in. More clouds and rain showers Wednesday night into Thursday. Low temperatures down to about 41.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Hi there, this is Eileen Grimes of the Jupiter Rising Show, and this Saturday, March 19th, we have a very special show on with Mr. Matt Shea, the 25th appearance, and an announcement of his new book. The book is A Gambling Tale, which will be a deep introspective story about how the issues of gambling can take a huge toll on a family. So don't forget, the Jupiter Rising Show right here on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KKNW Alternative Talk 1150.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Boss Up Babes, helping babes show up, boss up, and thrive. With number one best-selling author, global influencer, and ultimate boss babe, Carissa Atkins. Carissa is a health and wellness expert and CEO of the 365 Daily Hustle, here to help mompreneurs and career-focused women boss up and reclaim their healthiest life. She is a pro at cutting through the BS and inspiring massive breakthroughs that help women create healthy routines and habits that facilitate personal and professional growth. Are you ready to reclaim your best life, take action, and be a badass boss babe? Let's get to it.
What's up? What's up, everyone? Welcome. Welcome back to the Boss Up Babes show. Boss Up Babes is a bi-weekly show dedicated to all you entrepreneur, innovators, hustlers, personal development junkies, women who are just looking to show up, boss up, and thrive a little bit more in their life and in their business. Each episode, we take a deep dive into topics including money, relationships, business, health, and, of course, resiliency. And today on the Boss Up Babes show, we are talking about how to remain grounded in the midst of hardship, And this is going to be a great conversation because, unfortunately, still there are so many people out there still, like, trying to figure out the new norm. Sometimes I kind of forget that. Very easily I bounce back, and COVID really didn't affect me too much. But I know there are still so many people. So that is a hardship that so many women are still trying to, of course, get over and really just get back control of their life. We're going to talk about how to remain grounded in all the crap and the chaos. And then, of course, we're going to talk about how you can really take charge of your life and why you need to kind of reach probably deep within and do like a self-discovery of who you are and why it's so important to do that. So with me today, I have an amazing boss babe. She's my guest and life strategist, Mrs. Rachel Spence. And Rachel is a survivor. Wait, I think I'm saying Rachel. Is it Rachel or Rochelle?
People say both, so whatever flows best. So Rochelle seems to flow best when people see the spelling of my name. So
okay, I was like, wait, I think it's actually, I'm so sorry about that. That's what, you know, live radio at its best for you. I was like, wait a minute. Actually, anyways, you guys, she is a fantastic boss babe. I do want to introduce you, though. So Rochelle is a survivor of civil unrest. She's a survivor of a plane crash, holy crap, and a survivor of business failure. Yet not once has she ever allowed herself to become a victim of her circumstances. Instead, with humility and grace, she has grown and become more grounded in herself and in her purpose. I love that. And now, of course, years later, she is a successful motivational speaker, an author, a self-discovery coach, and in my opinion, a total boss up, babe. Rochelle has mentored and taught so many students and women to embrace their challenges as they blueprint their lives' success so that they can really increase their productivity by learning to connect with their voice so they really stand in their truth and just show up authenticity, that's such a hard word for me to say. Showing up with authenticity. All right. With that, Rochelle, welcome to the show.
This is going to be fun.
Yes. I'm like, oh, gosh, I said it two different times now. This is really going to mess me up. But welcome, boss babe, to the show. I appreciate you being here.
First, thanks for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation. So thanks for having me.
100%, me too, girl. And I know, like, you came from, like, of a connection of another boss, babe, and really, that is what I'm all about. And I know you're the same way, right? Like, helping other women boss up and rise to the next level is the only way to go, ladies. Like, gone are the days that we need to be pushing people down to just get, you know, to climb the ladder. We don't need that. And I'd love to start off, honestly, with, like, a random question of the day. So just kind of play with me here. So what is the word fearless mean to you? How would you describe that in your head?
Unstoppable.
She's like, I'll take your one word and I'll give you one word back.
So unstoppable is unwavering. When I hear fearless, it's kind of like a doer, a goer, a taker, an action taker.
Yeah.
A person who does not allow obstacles to prevent them from moving forward and taking action in their lives. So that's what, regardless of fear, right? I mean, the fear exists.
Yeah.
You find it within yourself to push through.
I love that. Totally fearless and unstoppable. The reason why that question kind of came to mind today is I was just at a speaking event. I got to speak at a summit called Fearless, and one woman put it on, and I, of course, flew to LA, and I spent some time there, but one of the very first questions that they asked us, because, of course, I love, I don't know about you, because I know you're a speaker, I love, like, listening to the other speakers, I love taking notes, because, like, these women are just as awesome as my keynotes, so, like, I really love diving in and just being, you know, the student when I'm listening to someone else. And the question got asked, she said, you know, like, what do you fear? And, you know, she said, now turn to a neighbor and talk about what it is that you fear. And I was like, you know, there was once a time in my life that I probably would have been able to spit out so many different things about the different things that I would fear and that would scare the crap out of me. But over the years, I've just created such a strong, resilient mindset that I was like, I don't really fear anything. Like, I truly look at, even when, like, things are scary, actually, that's my moment. That if something's like, ooh, Carissa, this is kind of scary, that's my exact, like, moment of fame. Go, you better do it, right? You better go after it and do it. So, awesome.
If you don't mind me putting on two more words in there, for me, it's kind of like it exists. Like, fear is part of life, and I believe that I broke from my fear a while ago when I started doing what I'm doing. My biggest fear was the fear of success. What that represented, the lack of privacy and everything else that comes with just when you finally allow yourself to be fully open and in the public eye. And that was my fear, but I broke away from that. And I mean, I'm here. Here I am. So everything else is like, when it shows up, I just go back to trusting and surrendering, and I keep pushing.
Golden nuggets. Ladies, if you're listening or if you can write that down, it's like just have faith and just trust that it's all going to work out. It's going to be okay. She's already giving us a golden advice here. And yeah, we all feel fear, right? And sometimes being scared comes in fear. But now you mentioned fear of success. Just as many, I find women, you know, they're feeling failure, but fear of success, like what happens when my life actually looks and feels amazing? What happens when I lose the weight? What happens when I finally break 100K in a month? You know, like they're like, ah, they freak out and then they want to go backwards. So I love that. So, you know, just to kind of get us going today, I love just listening to women's stories. I believe everyone has a story and they have a purpose. And we all have struggles. And I just mentioned three of your biggest challenges in life. So tell me a little bit about the story. Tell me about the plane crash, the business failure, and, of course, the civil unrest.
So I was just 11 years old when I lived in Haiti at the time, and my home was invaded and due to civil unrest, and where they were trying to really get my family out of our home and trying to keep coming and kill us. So I was 11 years old when this happened, and they kept on throwing boulders into the house. And I remember sharing the night right before I received, telling my parents, hey, I really would like to sleep in your room. And at the time, my mom was like, no, you know, just okay, you know, for the little girl that I was. But I said, Daddy, can I just sleep?
Yeah.
Why don't you just go? So that particular a moment of intuition led me to safety, because the next morning when we spent the whole night calling the authorities to come in to try to really help us out, because we were homeless, being attacked, boulders and boulders were being thrown in our home, windows being shattered, and it was a nonstop hiding underneath. I thought we had to come from the room and go hide in the bathroom underneath like a cabinets and so on and so forth. It was I had two older brothers. So we were all hiding at the moment. And the next morning when the authorities came, they literally came and do an inspection. They were asking, where's the person who died in that particular room? Where is this person? And that person's room happened to have been mine. It was my room. Had I slept in that room, I wouldn't have been able to sit here with you today. Okay. And I mean, they were throwing into my room, peered through the room, to the bathroom. It was like, I mean, 20 to 30 of them in that same room. They were not small. So that was the first incident where I could talk on the fear throughout the night and what we did throughout the night to really keep us sane, for lack of a better word, is prayers. My mother was like, okay, just we're a Catholic family, and at the time, my mother was going to give the rosary and just keep on praying and praying and praying throughout. So I spent the whole night just praying, and we all ended up venturing into my parents' room, hiding there until the sunlight, so that the authorities could come and try, at least attempt to try to come and protect us. But the whole night, by the time that the sunlight came, they had already broken the lock of the gate and they entered the yard. So the authorities came right on time until they were able to finally break into the house door to get into the property. So it was really survival moment, because I was, again, 11 years old, and something told me within myself, you can't sleep in this room.
Yeah.
This is, you need to move yourself out of there.
Mm.
And then to realize that the way in which my room was attacked, primarily, it was really something else. So I overcame that, and I was just, 19 or 20, heading from New York, heading to Florida, and the plane, it was in the winter, December, and heading to Florida was my cousin's graduation, and the plane skidded off the runway. It skidded off the runway. Talk about stuff you see in movies, right? Chairs lifting, doors flipping, bathroom doors going, people are yelling and screaming, and you're like, what's going on? And I don't even know where I got the energy and all the power, the strength. I remember just pulling the chair in front of me, and that chair was literally being lifted up. And I was just holding on to it. And I remember this lady, when the plane finally stopped, so my thought was, it was in LaGuardia Airport. No, it was JFK, actually JFK. And I was saying to myself, oh, my God, we're going to go to the, like, you know, it's like the bay is right there. So we're just going to, that's what I'm thinking. I have a grandfather who died in a plane crash. So at that moment, I faced my second fear of death, which was my first at the time, actually. It was like, oh, my God, I'm literally dying. This is it, because I'm thinking I'm in the water, I'm going to suffocate, I'm going to drown, and all these other stuff. All these thoughts were going, but at that moment, I faced my fear. I accepted what was, which is, my time has come, death is upon me, I'm dying. And I knew that at that moment, I would have the same type of death that my grandfather experienced. Mm-hmm. I never met him, but that's how he died. So that was my second experience in terms of, like, dealing with stuff like that. And then, like, in my 30s, I now live in South Florida, and my husband and I ventured into this business where we, you know, after doing all due diligence, we purchased an existing clinic, and we've done some due diligence. Everything was good on paper, and no matter how much time we're putting in and how work we're putting in, the money was just not coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And it really took the staff that were there, because we still kept the same staff, some of the same staff. They were like, it's not you guys. This thing's been going down for a long time. So we realized that what was said on paper, and we had attorneys, accountants, everybody looking at documents, and it was just not happening. So it became where a burden, in the sense that we were feeding the clinic, it was not feeding us.
Right.
And at some point, we have to come to terms and say, okay, what are we going to do? At what point do we, it will permanently affect our finances where we can't even feed it anymore. Mm-hmm. So we have to come to terms and come and decide to close it down and stand a financial loss based on that.
Mm-hmm.
However, the positive that came from that experience is this. At the time I had started, had just started my coaching / speaking business.
Mm-hmm.
And when my husband came up with this amazing idea, I knew then I had to put stuff on hold to support, because somebody has to be there. And I think that person would have been me. So I already had my non-for-profit. I was already running I founded a non-for-profit. I had that running. I started my business, and then this came about. So I'm like, okay, let's put the business aside and we focus on this one. And in doing so, the positive for me was how the Creator God placed me in the space to really experience my gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, I had, like I told you earlier, I acquired a staff. Those who bought into the vision remained, those who didn't left and became other ones.
Mm-hmm.
The team were able to build. The energy shifting that occurred within the practice, everybody bought into the mission. It became as much theirs as it was ours, which made it harder for us, but we had to lay off, because I was fueling them with inspiration and motivation. I was lighting them up. I was igniting them to know that they have what it takes to make things happen. They have what it takes to make this clinic where it needs to be. And the energy, the mindset, the leadership, overall, the team that we built was such a strong team that it pained me to have to let them go. But you know what? At least two of them remained with me without pay for a year and a half after we shut down.
Wow.
It spoke volume to who I was, what I was putting out there, the way in which I was leading,
mm-hmm.
and the way in which I was able to shift energy. It showed me how grounded I was in my purpose, what I was really meant to do. And the way I was able to deal with the experience and not allow it to take control, but yet allow myself to feel the experience spiritually, and surrendering. This is where I learned to surrender, because at that moment I knew that success does not come without failure. So my thought was this: if this is the failure that I have to experience in order for me to be successful, bring it.
That's like a mindset shift. It's like most people get stuck in their, like, the why me, I can't, like, the anger, right? You probably felt that. You probably went through every emotion of, like, why did I, how could I, you know, why didn't they tell me, like, how did I not see, like, all of these, you know, those emotions, the anger, the, you know, this is our, not just, I mean, when you take someone's money away, like, you've invested in a business, it was not successful, it takes a toll on everyone in the family, for sure, but it always comes down to, like, stopping and pivoting and just saying, okay, God, what am I supposed to be learning from this, and I trust that you will present me with some kind of lesson. Roger Crawford said, he said, being challenged in life is inevitable, right? But being defeated is optional. And with all three of those major instances, man, I thought my childhood was crazy, but, like, I can't imagine literally, like, someone attacking my home, the one place that you are supposed to feel safe and love, and just going from all of that, but, like, from that to the plane crash to the business failure to, like, all of that. How did you take charge of you? Like, how did you remain grounded in the midst of all that hardship?
Through faith. That was really one of the biggest things. And also for me to reconnect with who I was.
Mm.
The paying attention to who I was being in each of these experiences. And how I was showing up in all these. I mean, the trend, like, see the connectedness of all these experiences and who I was at each of them at every stage of my life. And realizing that.
Example of that, can you break that down, like, with who I was being? Can you break that down for us?
Well, you know, so we talk about intuition, right? So my intuition spoke loudly at 11 years old. So at that moment, and when I reflect back in my journey, it's like, wow, I was intuitive then. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And my intuition, in the plane, you know, not that there was an intuition that happened because I didn't know that I was going to get affected. However, the way in which I handled the situation, I kid you not, as soon as the plane stopped, I was the most serene person. And I remember this lady sat in front of me. And the first thing was an older lady. She said, oh, have we arrived? And I was like, oh, wow. She had no idea what just happened. We never left. And at that moment, I said to the lady, why don't you put your gloves, put your hat. We're going to go, you know, the back end of the day with the playmates. They brought the playmates into the plane so that we could come out of it. And I said, let me just help. So I knew, so part of who I was coming through, being of service.
Mm-hmm.
Being of service, not so much concerned about me, but ensuring that others were doing okay. And realizing that I am not the type of person in both instances that gets so agitated in the midst of heart, like in dire situation, that I'm one of the most collective in dealing with crisis.
Yeah.
I am a social worker by profession. It's not by accident that I am a social worker. So when I put these pieces together and realizing that one of my strongest gifts is crisis intervention, it's like it's all part of who I was becoming.
Yeah.
And not realizing at the time that's what it was. So I have, and taking a step back and reflecting all these situations, all these instances, like there's a common thread.
Yeah.
Of who I am,
mm-hmm.
what I'm about, how I show up, the authenticity of who I am.
I love and it. It just seems like true to yourself. I mean, it's
true to myself. Yes, yes. It's a process. It's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. But what's key is to take account right? So when something happens, actually just yesterday a friend of mine said to me, you know, you're the kind of person that you really process. I said, well, you know, it helps me heal. Processing helps me heal. Why? Because by processing, I take account of the story. I take account of my role in the story. What role have I played positively or potentially negatively, intentionally or not? And how could it have been, how can it be different? And it helps you forgive. Because when you put things into perspective by processing a situation, an experience, then you can maybe take account as to what you were thinking at the time, what were you doing at the time, and maybe what the other person was doing or thinking, and put things into perspective as you move forward in life.
Sure, and I think that, I mean, you guys can apply to that anything. I mean, I remember going through my divorce, and my attorney, you know, was like, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and I'm like, whoa, I don't want to be the woman that gets, like, nasty, and, like, I had to remind her that my intention was to show up with still with love, and to show, you know what I mean, like, my trauma, right? Like, I'm like, I appreciate the stuff that I've went through because it's made me who I am, but, yeah, you guys can always, if you're listening, and you're like, how do I, like, stop and just step back and reflect and put a different, you know, a pair of goggles on and just say, okay, right? Like, everything's going to be okay. Remind yourself that. And then your natural, you know, abilities will come out. Like in the plane crash, you had said, right? You are the natural, like, let me help you. I actually thrive when things are chaotic. And not everyone's like that, but that's okay. Other people will, they have their own tools. But, okay, which, and I kind of heard a little bit, right? You're starting to figure out when you step back and you look at all of the trends, right, the chaotic trends, you're figuring out your own blueprint, you know what I mean? And I don't want to forget, so we're going to stop right there really quickly, and I want you to let everyone know who is listening today, where they can get more of Rochelle, where they can reach out to you, where is the best spot people can find you?
Well, I am on all social media, so you talk about Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I do have a Twitter account, but I'm not as active, but the others I am. And I have a website, which is www.lashesteven.com. You can certainly find me there. And whatever services you, in terms of motivation, you need to get to know who you are from the core, self-discovery work, I am your go-to person. If you need that person to light you up from inside, I will ignite you.
Light it up. I love that. okay, so one rapid fire, like super uber quick tip on how a woman can start that self-discovery process.
Well, it starts with making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's so making a decision once you recognize where you are in your life at this time. And self-discovery, I believe, is key to entering any journey, any job, any business opportunity, whatever you want to do in life, it starts with getting to know you, because if you don't know you, you don't know what you want, why you need it, and why it matters, and it helps you take charge of who you are, because then you can make demands, because you're clear.
Yeah.
Tell you what you stand for, why you stand for it, and why it matters.
Ladies, figure out who the heck you are, please. I promise life becomes super easy once you have a crystal clear vision of, like, what you stand for and your values, like she said, and business and everything. Like, this rule applies in every area of your life, right? Figure out what you want and then go for it, right? So I just want to say thank you so much for being a guest and my expert today. You guys reach out to her if you are like, I don't even know what I want to be and who I need to be. And, like, if you're going through all of that, you know, like this 2022, like new year, like find yourself with Rochelle. I know she'll be able to help ignite that passion, that fire with inside. So thank you so much for being on the show today. And ladies, I have an amazing opportunity. If you're looking for support, if you're looking for accountability, if you're looking to get fit and stay fit forever, right, I want to encourage you to join the Healthy Hustle Facebook group. That's my private community. And this group is focused on helping high-achieving women claim their superpower by creating systems and habits and behaviors that will allow you to level up in your entire life. Now, this Facebook group isn't for women who like to complain, or it's not for women who want to blame. It's not for women who are like, I'm okay with being mediocre, because my content is not going to scream for you. But it is for the action takers. It is for the real go-getters. It's for the decision makers. It's for women who are ready to take responsibility for their health and in their life. Because I truly believe that having a solid, healthy, you know, mental fitness, emotional fitness, and then, of course, physical fitness allows you to become fearless and totally unstoppable. So if you are ready to position yourself as a true boss, babe, and leader, then I want you, you know, to join this group. Consider joining. We'd love to have you over there. That, again, is Healthy Hustle. It's on Facebook. And with that, if you've enjoyed today's show, please take a moment to just leave me a 5-star rating and a review on your favorite listening platform. You guys, we are on over 50 different listening platforms. You'll be able to watch this episode on MotivationAndSuccessTVNetwork.com like next week. So, yeah, share this episode with your closest friends. And, of course, reach out and boss up and, you know, get yourself discovered with Rachel. So thank you so much, girl. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to Boss Up Babe with Carissa Adkins, bringing you tangible tips and expert coaching advice to help you boss up and get healthy. Tune in every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for interviews with industry leaders and powerhouse boss babes that will empower you to take action and live your best life. If you're ready to boss up and work with Carissa in one of her transformative group coaching programs, visit 365dailyhustle.com.
You are not alone on your journey. Listen in to the Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable with Lisa Belt, twice a month for your well-deserved dose of positive energy and your personal reminder that you are perfectly imperfect, and that's okay. Find your true calling and influence the world around you for the better with your profound gift. Walk away feeling truly unshakable. Remember, God can't steer a parked car, so step on the gas now with Lisa and let him do the rest.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is Lisa Belt, and this is the Unshakable Living Show. And I am really excited tonight because I have my very first guest on my show, Melissa Walsh. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here tonight. I'm super jazzed. So Melissa is all several different things, and so the first segment of the show tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about Melissa's journey. But as we get into it, if you want to know more about her, Melissa's website is melissawalshhealing.com. You're on Facebook, Instagram, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
That's a really good start. So Melissa does different things, and she'll talk about that a little bit once we get going here. But just want to welcome everybody. And just looking ahead really quickly to my next show, Kristen Oakley is going to be my guest in 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about unshakable identity. And tonight, Melissa's going to share her unshakable journey, and then we're going to talk about unshakable intentions. So, Melissa, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you're at.
Sure. Tonight will be in a nutshell, because it's fascinating how the journey is filled with so many synchronicities, so many experiences that lead to the next thing. But initially, my background is in medicine as a physician assistant. I've been in a few different areas in that realm, from family practice, rheumatology, the study of autoimmune diseases, and functional medicine, more in that holistic setting. So it's evolved, but when it comes to the divine or spiritual gifts that I didn't really know I had for most of my life until I was in PA school, I always knew I had a great gut. And my mom always said, you follow your gut. Your gut will never lead you astray. And so I just knew that. And I knew I had a good gut.
Yeah.
I knew things sometimes. I saw things in dreams. My mom told me this story when I was 3 years old. We went to drop cookies off at a nursing home. And I left her side and I went around and like touched the hand of all of the people in the circle.
That's pretty amazing.
And when she told me that, I'm like, you know, I don't remember that, but there's a part of me that's like, yeah, like, of course I, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But really what 3-year-old does that, you know? So I just, I didn't know I was any different or that I had a thing until I was really facing a situation in PA school where I was assigned to do a clinical rotation in a half sex offender prison, half psychiatric ward that had children and adults, and I was assigned to the children's ward, and I started feeling a lot of dark energy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And I was like, holy cow, like, what's happening to me? Like, they're going to send me to crazy town. And I didn't know that was a thing, because at the time, I didn't know anything about
it. You didn't have words to describe it. There's no association.
No.
Yeah.
All I knew at the time is I'm probably stressed out, anxious, homesick, and now I'm in this place and feeling a lot of yuck.
That's pretty intense.
And I'm like, holy cow, what is this? Because you don't read that in the medical textbook.
Yeah, really.
Luckily, though, I feel like it was divine intervention that led me to my next rotation the following month, which was a very holistic practice who had people there that actually worked there that understood what was happening and understood me and started helping me connect the dots for like what I thought was I must be cursed or something because it felt so yuck. That actually this is going to be one of your greatest gifts when you learn how to work with it. Now, I'll admit, like, I tried to shove that away for a long time because that's not traditional, right? Like, that's not what I thought I signed up for. And I was like, really, like, no, I'm not telling anyone about that. Like, this
is an added bonus.
They don't know, like, I feel like a medicine woman with, like, crystals and oils and all these things that are, like, helping me behind the scenes. And anyways. So I had my first spiritual teacher that really helped me learn how to work with energy at the time. And, you know, because now I'm around all sick people and, like, I'm starting to feel everything and it's exhausting me. You know, but I got to a time when I was working more in a hospital clinic where things really started opening up again. And I could see
it. What do you mean by opening up?
So I could see beyond the physical exam. It's like I was being shown. I'm very visual and I just see things in like my inner senses. I could see what was wrong with the person, but it wasn't the setting for me to be able to speak about it.
Okay.
And so I just tried to ignore that. And but I started feeling more and more kind of guilty that all I had was a prescription patch. That'd be a wise word.
Maybe a little frustration in there.
In me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so, but I, again, here I am trying to just ignore that. This is where I'm supposed to be. I have a good job. I make good money. And you just need to, like, put your head down and, you know, be grateful for what you have.
Appreciate
you. You know? And so, but the more and more I did that, the more and more I became stressed out, not present at home. My body starts talking to me like, you know, I have the headaches, the back pain, the achy neck, the can't sleep, the mind's busy. You know, all the things that I feel like probably, you know, most people can relate to, but just try to accept that this is the way it is and deal with it. Whereas, and I was trying to do that.
You're trying to do the right thing.
Yes, I was trying to do that, and I put all this work into this is exactly what I've always wanted to do. And then one day I was in my office, and, like, I just felt off. Like, I couldn't type what I was thinking in my mind.
Okay.
My vision starts to kind of go in and out and blurry. I'm like, gosh, I'm not feeling too well. So I told my assistant at the time, I'm like, I'm going to lay down for a second. Let me know when my patient is ready. And when he came in, I couldn't talk. I couldn't, like, move to unlock my phone. He was going to call my husband. I couldn't I didn't know what my key code was. The doctor comes in and he's like, what's my name? And I'm like, and so they're like, take her to the ER. Maybe she's having a stroke. It wasn't a stroke. It was really what happened was my nervous system was no longer in fight or flight and just like keep it going. It went into freeze. And it was the stress. It was the resistance of like trying to make myself be in a place that the divine was really pulling me out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was trying to say like, no, I went to school for this long. This is who I am. This is what I do. I have a good job. I make good money. I have good retirement. Like all the things. I had $60,000 in student loans to still pay back. Like what else am I going to do? I can't
just do this. Be responsible. Do the responsible things.
Yeah. But then I'm like, all right. So after I went back to my office, you know, a period of time went by, but I remember sitting there thinking, I can't be here for another 30 years. Like, I can't do this until retirement, but then what am I going to do? But it was my wake-up call, and I feel like that's, like, what happens to get our attention. Something happens to get our attention, whether it's, like, something traumatic, it's an accident, it's an illness, it's something.
Okay.
When you're in massive resistance like I was for making a change.
Yeah.
That I knew deep in my heart I desired, but I had no idea how it could work.
Yeah. What did the fear feel like in that setting?
The fear of making the change?
Yeah.
Well,
so I guess one, there's fear of the realization of I'm supposed to make a change, and then the resisting the change.
You know, I don't think at the time, I think the fear was manifesting in my physical body.
Okay.
As anxiety, as stress of I'm worried about where am I going to make the money that I need to make with this much debt, with my student loans, and then just the regular household bills that you need to pay, and those tend to go up the more money you're making.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just every day somebody just finds a six-figure job.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, how am I going to, like, pay everything? And so I felt like more of my inner fears are manifesting in my body physically.
Okay.
From the headache, the neck pain, the tension, oh, I need a massage. Does anyone have ibuprofen? And
got it.
It got to the point where, you know, it froze. And that was my wake-up call.
So can you describe steps that you followed through this period?
Yeah.
You know, if anybody listening is going, yeah, I relate to that, now what do I do?
Totally. Totally. So what I did know at the time is, all right, I can see that this is not going to be the place for me for much longer.
Yeah.
And I could see a change had to be made. And I knew that I needed to move towards something, like being into something that was calling
that makes
me.
Sense.
But I had no idea, because I had no idea what it was going to be. And so I said yes to it. It being whatever I was going to be moving towards. And letting go of having to know the how. Then the second thing was it carried a feel.
Okay.
So it was going to be peace to me because at the time I did
not
feel
in peace.
Peace. And peace to me just means more flow. It means not stressed out all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean just like sitting and meditating on a nice
beach.
Like that wasn't what I mean by peace. It just meant like I wasn't stressed out. It meant I could be involved with my family. It meant I could sleep at night.
Yeah.
So to me, that's what peace would be. And so I was like, I have to align with that. And I held the intention of peace. So before I would go into my office, I'd sit in my car. You guys don't joke, I'd do this. I would sit in my car, and I would imagine what my day would feel like to me if it was peaceful, which means not crazy, right? And I didn't use the affirmation, I am peace, because that doesn't work. If I did that, it'd be like, oh, yeah, right. You know what your day is going to look like? You remember what happened yesterday? Like,
mm-hmm.
all of okay. that. And so instead, I said to myself, how would you feel if you were at peace? And that allowed me and my imagination to tap into a sensation.
Okay.
And I didn't have so many of those other extra thoughts coming in, like, no, you know why you're not at peace? And I could access a feeling which came from inside of myself to then be able to find it in the day.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like the sore thumb thing. Like, when you focus on your sore thumb, like, that's how you feel.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. And using certain words, but to then access the feeling of the word within myself and then going about my day. And what happened is I started noticing that my, like, situations or my experiences throughout my day weren't crazy. I would even, like, find a pen. It sounds so silly and so easy, but it's powerful. I had a pen that I loved to write with. And back then, drug rat pens was, like, the thing.
Yes.
They don't get them anymore, but they had a really good pen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a favorite pen. And I would write with that, and I'd really feel into the ink. I'm like, man, that ink feels so good. Like, it's so smooth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
it's so smooth. And so there's my sensation, right? Like, I'm finding these sensations that are connecting me with the feeling, and the feeling comes from within me.
Awesome.
And then I start getting more of that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys, the weird thing is my days at work started to feel peaceful. And then I'm like, well, then why would I leave? Like, I'm good now. Why would I leave? And when that happens, that doesn't mean that you're stuck.
Yep.
It means you're closer to being really out. You're closer to your change.
Okay.
Because you're now aligning with what's been pulling you.
Yeah.
And you're moving toward that thing versus feeling like you have to quit your job, run away, and then you get in another situation that's exactly the same.
Okay, we're going to pause and take a break. So hold that thought. And when we come back, we're going to take what Melissa has shared about her journey and move into a little bit of how you can set an intention. So we will be right back.
Empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Not just talk, conversation or profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back. This is Lisa Bells with the Unshakable Living Show and my guest, Melissa Walsh. So glad to have you here. And again, we're just going to remind people, if you would tell us again your website and Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, so my website is melissawalshhealing.com. And then you can find me on Facebook at Melissa Walsh Healing or my personal page, Melissa Walsh. Instagram is integrative healer _Melissa Walsh.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, we've been talking about Melissa's journey. I was talking about the journey to becoming. That was the original working title of my book, Becoming Unshakable. But your journey to becoming, you're talking about, you know, your transition from being a PA, traditional medicine, and kind of getting into what you're really called to do in life.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk just a little bit about intentions.
Okay.
All right, so if you have been joining us, what had happened, just to give you a little insight, is as I'm holding this intention of the word peace and my days are going much better and I knew I was closer to whatever was calling me, I ended up doing two things. One, I moved to a holistic clinic where I could integrate all of me. And I started my own business doing personal growth and spiritual mentoring work so I could use my voice in a way that was pulling me, but I couldn't in the setting that I was in. So I'm going to pause you for just a second. Talk a little bit about using your voice. I mean, that's a whole conversation by itself, but give us, again, a nutshell of what that looks like for you.
Yeah, and, you know, by using my voice, I would, how can I say this? In the clinic, I could see beyond the physical exam, and I only had a prescription pad to offer. There were conversations that I knew needed to be had to facilitate the healing of the person in front of me that I couldn't have.
Uh-huh.
And so I felt like my voice was stifled, that I could see and I knew something that could be helpful, but I couldn't share it with them.
Got it.
So I was like, well, by doing my own thing, I don't have any, like, stipulations. You know, I could be free to speak in the way that I'm guided to speak and heal in the way that I'm being guided for the person in front of me.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so tie that back to your peace.
Yeah. So as I was moving out of the clinic, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So now I was out of that clinic. I'm in a more holistic setting. I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah.
And which is really awesome at the time, but you guys know, like, you kind of make one up level, like, right? You, like, make a big
Mars
change.
Brothers.
Yeah. You jump up on that little brick, and you're like, yes, this is awesome, and everything's great for a while until you're at the next.
You plateau.
Yeah, and it's time for the next one, right? So this gets a little, as you know, this is a thing, it gets a little easier when you know it's a thing, but it still can feel really, really crummy sometimes. But holding the intentions has always been my go-to, like holding the word. So then I'll think to myself, okay, what does your heart desire now, Melissa? And I got to the point where it was freedom.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a powerful word.
Freedom. So remember, it was peace.
Yeah.
And I was made that transition. And now it was freedom. So that was my 2020 word,
okay,
was freedom.
And so freedom can mean a lot of different things. What does freedom mean for you in that context?
In that context, it meant like not feeling tied down to having to do or be anything. So at the time, I'm tied to a job that I have to go to that's pulling me away from my kids, who I really desire to be home with them more and present with them. I have two little kids, ages 6 and 9. And that's what my heart desired. But here we are, like, I have to do this thing. And it was like pulling my energy out. So what that looked like to me was, on the days I'd go to work, I was like,
yeah.
And then the days I was home enjoying time with my kids, I was seemed like happy and more uplifted. And I'm like, okay, that's a sign. Like, pay attention to that something's out of alignment. And so because I felt like I had to do something that just was pulling me out of alignment, I was like, I wish I had freedom in that. I wish I had financial freedom, so I didn't feel like I even had to, like, go, you know, to work. I wish I had freedom to just do and say and make all the choices in my life that I want without anyone telling me what I have to. It was just that.
Well, and somebody just go, yeah, that'd be really nice, but that's never going to happen.
Right.
but it can happen.
Right.
Because you've proven it.
Yes. So I was like, okay, here we go. I can see we're at, like, the next change level. So I was like, so freedom's your word. And when you hold a word and intention, be prepared. Not everything that you like or want comes your way right at first.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have either a program or just seeing layers we need to shed that's holding us back.
Okay, can we even step back maybe a couple of steps and even talk about the basics of setting an intention? Mm-hmm. You know, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. How do you pick a word? How do you know?
Yep.
I have lots of intentions I want to set.
Yes.
How do I pick one?
Right, exactly. So what I like to do is I just feel into myself and ask the question, like, what do you want to feel? How do you want to feel? And think of an emotion word.
Okay.
Not what do you want, because
mm-hmm.
we want lots of things
right.
in the physical world, but how do you want to feel? And that's a really great catch-all. So for you, it might be love.
Mm-hmm.
It might be freedom. It might be peace. It might be
Satisfaction.
You know,
the mind.
Yeah. So it could be
fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when you hold that, though, and you really connect, like I said earlier about the peace, like you sit just for a couple moments. It could be in your car. It could be at a stoplight. And you're like, how would I feel if I was satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
How would my body feel if I was fulfilled? And a lot of times you'll feel like this kind of like relaxation sense come over you.
Uh-huh.
Or you just have a sense that, yes, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how I felt with the word freedom.
So again, if our listeners wanted to go do some reading or some research, is there anything on your website as far as resources?
No, not specifically on this topic.
Okay. Where would we start?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay, and that's fine. Yeah. Well, and that's fine. I didn't cue that up very well. We'll prepare that one better next time. But I think
this is a great start in just asking your heart, how do you want to feel?
And you say heart, I would say spirit.
Spirit.
So again, different words, same meaning.
Right.
You know, I'm going to ask my spirit.
Yes.
So for me, our soul is our mind, will, and emotion. It's my spirit that I want to connect to.
Yeah.
It's my spirit want.
Just different words.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
So ask that inner space of yours.
Yep.
what would you like to feel?
Okay.
And I think with the words example that we just gave,
mm-hmm.
if you kind of like take yourself through like a list, even like in your mind, just think about each word. One is going to have a feel behind it that you're like, yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Okay. We are out of time, which is just so sad because we can't
wait today.
Yes. We'll just have to have Melissa come back maybe in March or April. We'll continue this. So quickly, Melissa, tell us who is your ideal client. If people wanted to reach out for you, what services do you offer? We have about 30 seconds.
Okay, so I have a variety of things. We do women's retreats. We do one-on-one healing sessions. We do some group healing work. But really, for those of you who are ready to step into your authentic self but feel like there's some blocks keeping you from really finding that passion in your life and for the work that you do.
All right. Thank you so much. And again, MelissaWalshHealing.com. There is links to it out on the Transformation Talk Radio page for this show. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. And come back in 2 weeks when Kristen Oakley will be my guest. And we're going to talk about unshakable identity. Have a great evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. See you next time.
You've been listening to The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable with Lisa Belt. Tune in twice a month for your well-deserved dose of positive energy and your personal reminder that you are perfectly imperfect, and that's okay. Find your true calling and influence the world around you for the better with your profound gift. Walk away feeling truly unshakable. Remember, God can't steer a parked car, so step on the gas now. Melissa and let him do the rest.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We'll start things off over on I-5 northbound, just north of South Spokane Street. That's in Seattle around milepost 163. A recent disabled vehicle partially blocked in the center lane. DOT crews and State Patrol are trying to get to the situation to get that disabled vehicle pushed off to the side. It is causing a little bit of a backup there on I-5 northbound. The jam up actually starts back just at the end of Boeing Field on up into downtown Seattle. So, folks, if you're heading into Seattle, I-5 northbound, and then it's going to be slow for you folks. But that's okay. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Coffee with the Universe and Laura Goldstein. Stay tuned. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Ukraine's president is asking members of the Canadian Parliament if they can imagine bombs raining down on their cities and killing civilians.
Can you imagine hearing you, your children, hear all these severe explosions, bombing of airport, bombing of Ottawa airport?
President Zelensky says every night is a horrible night because of the shelling from Russia's forces. The Ukrainian president said Canada is leading in providing support to Ukraine and added it's very important to close Ukrainian airspace to Russia aircraft and missiles. Canada's prime minister says Canadians and Ukrainians are friends and have been for a long time.
Our people share deep historical ties. In the early 20th century, a massive wave of Ukrainian immigrants came to Canada.
The Prime Minister said he's handing down more sanctions on Russian oligarchs. Canada will continue supplying Ukraine with weapons and whatever they need to repel Russian forces. Trudeau said the war being carried out by Russia is a major mistake and called for Russian President Vladimir Putin to stop targeting civilians. More than 3 million people have poured out of Ukraine since the invasion began. Poland has so far been the destination for a majority of the refugees. As of Sunday, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees said the country has absorbed more than 1.7 million people. Wholesale inflation keeps climbing. A key indicator of rising prices, the producer price index jumped 10% on a year-over-year basis for the period that ended in February. It jumped by 0.8% in February. The COVID funding stalemate in Congress is prompting delays in buying hundreds of thousands of monoclonal antibody treatments. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki argued the consequences will be dire if the money isn't authorized. Psaki said more than $22 billion in emergency funding is needed to maintain adequate supplies of treatments, along with the free testing and vaccinations. Republicans and some Democrats are reluctant to provide the additional COVID money as the pandemic wanes. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For 35 years, DonyCo Pet Clinic has provided comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, DonyCo Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum. Please join Team DonyCo and make a difference in the lives of people and their animals. Volunteer or donate today. DonyCo Pet Clinic. Log into DonyCo.org. That's D-O-N-E.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see pretty much rain on and off throughout the day today. We'll also mix in a few thunderstorms as well, so be on the lookout for that. High temperatures around 48, 49 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Chance of light showers moving through the area again as well. Low temperatures down to about 42. For Wednesday, we'll start the day out with clouds and rain moving to partly sunny skies. High temperatures around 52. Those partly cloudy skies will run off to another front moving in. More clouds and rain showers Wednesday night into Thursday. Low temperatures down to about 41.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
How do you start your day? Are you focused, energized, and tuned in to your higher self? Or do you wake up anxious, unmotivated, and already overwhelmed by your giant to-do list? Welcome to Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein, where we'll have inspiring and practical conversations around how to reverse daily struggle and show up calm, collected, and confident instead. As a psychotherapist, spiritual advisor, yoga teacher, and influential speaker, Laura will discuss all things morning routine for increased productivity, mental clarity, greater connection with self, and better decision making. So grab your favorite cup of Joe and come sit down with Laura. Coffee with the Universe starts now.
Hello and welcome to Coffee with the Universe. I am your host, Laura Goldstein. And today I want to talk about this concept of happiness, finding happiness, creating happiness. And I'm wondering, is it possible to experience joy in every moment? And there's a lot of conflicting, I guess, advice or perspectives around this. Some spiritual communities say, you know, yes, you know, you want to strive for that and, you know, only think happy, successful thoughts, kind of like the whole law of attraction type of thing. In Buddhism, though, we talk about how desire, wanting things, is a form of suffering, but isn't like wanting things and excitement and desire something that contributes to our happiness? And so I was just kind of thinking about all of this, and I'm wondering, you know, is this a possible state? Then you have your people who say that, yes, you know, our internal state is supposed to be of this blissful and this, you know, absolute joy way of being. And I've actually experienced that in meditation. So then I'm like, well, can we get that all the time? Or is this just like a completely unrealistic expectation from us? So I kind of just wanted to have a conversation today about this concept of, you know, are we going to experience joy in every moment, even in hardship? Is that even possible? So in the mornings, in one of my routines, I kind of go through different types of morning routines. I mean, yes, I always do my yoga, and yes, I always do moments of meditation, but I will kind of flip-flop between different journals, free-flow journaling. Some journals are kind of like scripted and they ask you, you know, what three things are you grateful for today? And one of the journals that I was working on had a line that says, you know, what can you do today that will create happiness for you? And I would kind of fill that out, you know, what am I excited about? And, you know, oh, I'll be happy. I'm going to do this. This is exciting. And so for a while, and I get what the point was. The point is to set yourself up thinking in a positive way so that you start your day out right. I get it. I understand that. But as I've gotten further into my yoga practice and really started studying Buddhist philosophy, a lot resonated there that, you know, desire and wanting things is a form of suffering. Because if you think about it, why do we want things? We want things because we think they will make us happy. And this is really an ego-based perspective. You know, oh, I want a new car. I want a, you know, an upgraded house. You know, I want this kind of client in my work. I want this, you know, special job. I want this kind of relationship. But while we are so busy wanting and creating this idea of what this should look like for us, we're often missing opportunities, but then when it doesn't turn out exactly how we like it or we don't get what we want, then it creates suffering. And when you desire something, and I know this, you know, for myself, when I desire something, there's this constant like craving, like, oh, I want to get it, I want to do this, you know, I got to do that, I got to get it. And that in itself can actually be very stressful. I mean, right now I'm in this process of house hunting, and I love to watch like House Hunters on TV. So I'm like, oh, house hunting will be fun, and I look forward to this, and, I want to move, and I'm ready for my own place, and blah, blah, blah. But it's actually very stressful because I have these lists of what I want, but nothing is really matching up to that. So I'm starting to question, hey, do I really want what I want, or am I wanting this because I think it will make me happier? I think I need this in a house. And house hunting has actually been very stressful. Yeah, the market conditions are a part of that, but it hasn't been as fun and exciting as I thought it would be. So on one hand, we're told to, create what we want and create these goals and desire and what's going to make us happy and create your dream life and what do you really want. On the other hand, we now have this philosophy, and a lot of philosophies teach this. If you look at Christianity, not like what religious institutions have done to Christian philosophy, but like the true messages of Jesus, he says kind of the same thing. By seeking these things, it's really just a distraction, and it's a form of suffering. And spirituality, I think, can be very confusing. There's a lot of different messages out there. Another example is someone that I like to listen to on a regular basis is Michael Singer. He wrote The Untethered Soul. He also has The Surrender Experience and a new book coming out actually soon. And he has an ashram in Gainesville, Florida. And what I like about his style is he's very simple. For those that are seeking spirituality, his message is very simple. And in his message is just to remain open and find joy in everything, to find joy in the things we think we like or don't like, to not have, preferences, that we can even find joy in, jobs that maybe aren't ideal. It's like we don't need these outside circumstances. We don't need our environment to be a certain way. We don't need certain material objects to be happy. That happiness is a choice. And no matter what we are experiencing, we can make that choice. And I thought, really? Okay. And his idea is that at soul level, and I actually do believe this, at soul level as a spirit, we are full of joy, and it's a blissful state. But we aren't tapped into that. We're identifying with the ego, the mind. We are identifying with what we think, we should be liking, disliking, creating, not creating, doing, not doing. And therefore, we're disconnected from that state of pure joy. And I've actually felt this, like I will be in a meditation session by myself, and like all of a sudden I hit this like just feeling of like light and excitement and joy just by allowing myself to connect to source energy. And I felt that. Now, it doesn't last for very long because all of a sudden I start thinking about something, like my mind gets involved, and, then I've kind of lost that state. But I have personally experienced those moments of just pure joy while I'm sitting, downstairs in the basement on my yoga mat doing some yoga and meditation. So I know it exists, but I also know that it is a huge challenge to stay in that state. So I'm thinking, gosh, maybe you have to be like a monk or like a special enlightened one in order to remain in that state. And then you have the argument of, okay, so let's say I am in the midst of something traumatic happening. is it realistic to be able to experience joy during that moment? And our analytical minds are like, well, of course. I mean, if we're experiencing loss, or God forbid, you know, we're you know, being a victim of some kind of assault or crime, are we going to be like, oh, I'm happy now, I'm finding the joy and bliss in this situation? Probably not, right? So this concept of our soul or spirit is pure bliss, and we are meant to experience that at all times. I just don't know if that is practical being a human being and experiencing the nuances of life, the ups and downs of life. And just by, you know, talking about this, you can see how it's super confusing to hear all of these different philosophies and then wondering, you know, gosh, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to believe in? Am I supposed to then have goals? Am I not supposed to want things? Am I, you know, should I just forget preferences and do things that I don't like now because they fell into my lap and maybe it's a sign? You know, what do we do with all of this information that is thrown at us? And I don't know that I really have the answer, because I too struggle. I'll hear something one day and be like, oh my gosh, that really resonates. And then the next day I'm listening to, you know, a podcast or something else, and I'm like, oh, you know, that makes sense. But you know what? It's in direct conflict of what I heard yesterday. So what am I supposed to do with this? And I almost feel like that I need to kind of go on an information fast and stop listening to people. And maybe that's the key, is to stop listening, to stop seeking enlightenment, because in that journey, we get so many mixed messages of what enlightenment looks like, what happiness looks like, what spirituality looks like, and everybody's going to have a different opinion. And what I know is when I get my mind involved to try and figure it out, to really sit down and say, okay, you know, what do I believe in? What truly resonates? I never have the answer. I just don't know, because like our minds don't know. All our minds know is the information that we've inputted. I mean, our minds are like a computer, if you think about it. It's stored information. So any information that comes in from all of these various sources, it's information from past experiences, what I've already done. But that's all that it knows. It doesn't know everything else there that I'm not aware of yet. So when I try to get my mind involved in sorting out this process, it's really, I stay in this place of confusion. Like, what am I supposed to believe in? And the only time that I find a sense of clarity, really, is when I am on my yoga mat and when I am practicing meditation and I'm just allowing myself to be and not think about it. That's when I seem to get clarity around this. That's when I seem to be able to just like take action and do things without overthinking and worrying about, oh my gosh, I have to be happy right now. I have to, you know, do something or not do something in order to be happy. Or like, that happiness even matters. I mean, does it matter in the long run? Are we going after the wrong thing instead of just being present and enjoying what is in front of us and what is? Are we being distracted and busying ourselves to try and be happy. I don't know. I know, I'm just kind of, you know, spinning in circles here, but I think a lot of us go through this, well, the law of attraction says this, but then, you know, tapping says that. And after the break, I'm going to come back to that because I want to talk specifics in these different, philosophies, I want to, like, give you specifics just so you can see, hey, you know, I can see now why this, you know, this one makes sense, but so does this one. I want you to be able to really think about this so that you can maybe decide for yourself, hey, you know what, I don't want to put this much energy into it, or I've been, you know, chasing all of these things that are stressing me out. So when we come back, we're going to dive into some of these different, belief systems, perspectives, spiritual philosophies, whatever you want to call them. So I will see you after the break.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the nine freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
Do you feel like you and your significant other have lost their initial spark? Then let Coach Martez and Wadrina guide you to strengthen your love and reignite that spark on the Coach Martez and Wadrina Layton Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Understanding love, accepting truth, and changing perspective. For more information, make sure you go to dreambuilderscoaching.net. That is dreambuilderscoaching.net.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show. Why wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out. With me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Vasily and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times, or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
The wise tell us that beauty is everywhere, if only we know how to look. Here's a simple way to see beauty everywhere. Think of three beautiful things, like the laughter of a child, a sunset over the ocean, the sound of a waterfall, the taste of a perfect meal. It can be anything. Just remember three beautiful things. Then ask yourself, what do these things have in common? What do they share which we call beauty? The next step is to let go of the specifics. The laughter, the sunset, the meal, and just contemplate beauty itself. This is a heart thing. Leave the mind and go to the heart and find the universal beauty. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover beautiful things together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Hello and welcome back to Coffee with the Universe. And today we've been discussing happiness and this idea of seeking it, getting it, trying to find it, trying to experience happiness in every moment. Is it possible to experience joy? Is this an unrealistic expectation? And so I just talked about how spirituality can be super confusing. We are given a lot of different perspectives, and a lot of them conflict each other. And when we are trying to create the best version of ourselves to create a life we want or think we want, When we are trying to really step into our purpose, our dharma, when we are conflicted on the inside with mixed messages, it makes it very hard to do so. So let's talk about some examples here that we might have bought into or just watched or even maybe resonate with. And the reason why I want to talk about these is because I've actually used a lot of these. I've dabbled in all of these different ideas over the years, thinking that, oh, this is going to be the solution to whatever struggles that I have. But to be honest, in the, you know, decade that I've been doing this, some of these things, I mean, really have not come any closer to a conclusion in certain areas. And it's kind of frustrating if I think about it. But anyway, so the law of attraction and positive thought communities operate on the premise that whatever you think about, whatever the energy is about, you attract more of that. So if you are thinking positive, happy thoughts, you are going to attract more positive, happy circumstances in your life. If you think about negative thoughts and things that go wrong and blaming people for your circumstances and woe is me, you're going to attract more of those kinds of negative experiences. So do I believe this to be true? Well, I mean, yes, I do think that there is value in having a positive outlook in life. I think that negative thoughts elicit, you know, negative feelings. Because here's the thing, our thoughts are directly related to how we feel, and how we feel is in relation to how we act. So rather than maybe like this being a universal thing, like there's this some entity up there that's like, oh, you're thinking positive, therefore I'm going to gift you this, I think we just create our own circumstances through that thought, emotion, action line. We're thinking negatively, so now we feel like crap, and now our actions are based on us feeling like crap. And you know that when you feel not so great, you tend to make poor, crappy decisions. And when you make bad decisions, guess what happens? You get a return on that. So I don't know that we are like there's some divine entity that is like, oh, you're going to attract, and you know the universe is going to bring you brilliant things. I just think we created it. It's like a form of self-sabotage. When we are positive in our thoughts, we feel, you know, more motivated and inspired, so we're going to take action on that. And when we take action that is based on sound judgment, that is based on some intention and positive energy around that, then we make those kinds of decisions and we attract more of that into our life. So again, I don't know that it's like this is any like big spiritual, like, wow, this is amazing. I just think it's a very logical system of how things work. So while, you know, positive thinking is helpful, and I glad that there are supports out there to encourage people to do that, I don't know that it's magic of any sort. And I don't know that believing that you can only think positively will, you know, give you what you want. Because the reality is that as a human being, we don't always think positively. And even if we try to fake it, you know that you're faking it. So let's say you are, you know, experiencing a hardship, something, you know, traumatic happened, or you've lost somebody, and you're like, oh, I'm going to think positive thoughts, and I'm going to recite my affirmations, and they're all going to be positive. I feel wonderful. I am happy. I'm full of joy. even if we're doing that, like, our body knows that we don't feel that way. I think we're just trying to kid ourselves into maintaining this positive state because we think that if we feel this sorrow or loss or pain, that we're going to attract more of that, like, immediately. Then it's like we try to do these things to con ourselves into, attracting something different. And I just don't think that as human beings, again, that is possible. And so now if we look at tapping, emotional freedom technique, if you don't know what that is, it's using acupressure points on the body to release negative emotions, stress, unhelpful beliefs. So instead of like acupuncture where you're getting like needles and certain meridian points on your body, we're actually just tapping on them. And I actually believe that this is a wonderful process, but part of tapping is being honest with yourself and acknowledging that, you know what, my head is in the crapper right now. I am stuck in a cycle of negativity, or I'm feeling such extreme loss because of the, you know, death of a loved one or a fur baby or, you know, a failed relationship. Part of tapping is to acknowledge that, because our bodies aren't stupid. They know. They keep track of how we're feeling. So part of tapping is, hey, you know what? Let's acknowledge where we are. Let's acknowledge the sucky feelings. Let's acknowledge our sucky thoughts. And let's start there. Let's use that as a basis to then release those, so that we can then get to a more positive state of thinking and feeling, thus acting. So if you are this like true believer in the law of attraction and positive affirmations, and I can only think positively, then you're going to see this tool like tapping, which is an amazing tool, and think, well, I can't do it because if I tap on the negativity, I'm going to bring more negativity into my life. And then you've kind of talked yourself out of using this tool in order to really work through feelings that you have. Because in a sense, this idea of maintaining a positive stance no matter and just using affirmations to work my way out of it is just a way of trying suppressing your feelings and what's going on the inside. And if you think about like our insides as a trash can, and if we're trying to suppress our emotions, we're sticking all of these feelings into this trash can, at some point it's going to overflow and explode, and it's not going to be pretty. Some people explode with anger, some people go into a tailspin of depression. It just isn't pretty. And when we don't acknowledge these negative states, then we're just stuffing it into our trash can. So we have here the law of attraction. We have tapping. Then we have, some of the like Buddhist philosophy. And then I also talked about Dale Michael Singer, who speaks of the eternal state of our divine being is bliss and joy, and we have the ability to tap into that and always feel that presence, that state of joy. We have the power to do that if we can separate ourselves from the ego and really be just like that seat of consciousness. And like a lot of this talk, it's like, well, seat of consciousness, you know, what is that? And, you know, gosh, I'm not a monk. I don't consider myself like enlightened. So is that going to be an option for me? And even Eckhart Tolle, that wrote The Power of Now, talks about, you know, being homeless for 2 years in a state of absolute joy. And I'm thinking, you know, and most of us are like, how can you be homeless and feel joy all the time? but he talks about his experience of hitting that place of enlightenment, of realizing I am not my ego. There is that personal self, that ego, but then there is that divine being, you know, I am in here. And I, as a spirit, as a soul, am just blissful no matter what. So for some of these philosophies, in order to feel that state of joy, is it possible? Yes. But you almost have to completely shift your way of thinking about yourself. You have to let go of your egoic identity completely, which is quite scary to the egos. We have to not care what people think. We have to detach ourselves from material possessions and like how we perceive life should be. We have to detach from like relationships with other people. It takes a lot of work, a lot of detachment to be able to quiet the ego enough in order to be in that place all the time. And most of us haven't hit that point of enlightenment, so we are still identifying with the ego. And it almost seems like an unattainable experience. And, you know, I believe that you really have to be devoted to that in order to get there if that's what you want. If you want to experience that bliss and joy all the time, you'd really have to devote your life to getting that. It's almost like a lifestyle. I mean, if you're an alcoholic and you go to AA, that's like your lifestyle now. You don't drink, you go to your meetings. To feel that state of enlightenment, it's basically living that practice. And is that then practical? We can have this conversation. What if you have like, you know, kids and you're supporting kids? Do you have the time and resources to devote yourself to finding happiness all the time? But boy, you know, wouldn't that be wonderful? I think about not suffering, not like from a Buddhist philosophy. Desire is suffering. Suffering, choosing to suffer is suffering. Wouldn't it be nice to be free of suffering and to, yes, enjoy life and to just be present and be filled with that sense of peace all the time? That would be lovely. I mean, don't we all want that? You know, I don't know. And then we have, like, I guess you could say, intention setting, goal setting, visioning communities, like vision board, you know, to really envision what you want, to create what you want, to create a 5-year plan, to create a 10-year plan. And again, by doing that, are we setting ourselves up? I don't know about you, but I cannot create a like 5-year plan to save my life. I can't even create a 1-year plan. Do you know how many 1-year plans I have created? And then at the end of the year, I look back at that and like, I really didn't accomplish that. I accomplished other things that I feel were equally as important, but I never really accomplished like this plan that I thought would be ideal for me. Now, I do think there are some people out there that are very driven and it's kind of like their focus. They set goals and they achieve those goals and they apply all their energy to it. But I don't know. I've never been able to do that. And I wonder if that's just because in my place of spiritual growth and where I am now, I realize that by doing that, I personally am missing out on opportunities that are presented to me because I'm like too focused on, oh, this is what I decided I was planning and this is what I'm going to do. That kind of planning comes from our ego, not necessarily from like my dharma, who I am as a divine being. And, you know, so again, I know that I'm speaking on this and it's probably not giving you maybe any more sense of clarity, but my point is to not necessarily say this is the way, that is the way. It's really to get you to think about what are you striving for. And, you know, most of us are trying to create the sense of happiness. And are you doing it in a way that you think is going to support yourself? Or are you caught up in all of these different belief systems and actually, you know, sabotaging yourself instead? All right, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, I want to talk about what we can do. If this is like super confusing, so what do we do? Just like do nothing? No. So I'm going to talk about when we come back, what are some of those options that I've found that has really helped me not allow all of this to just like stress me out. So I will see you after the break.
As different layers of consciousness unfold in each show, you won't want to miss a second of this. Make sure to tune in to Transmutation Time, Energetic Alchemy for an Amazing Life, every month with Kelly Kay on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Kelly and the show, visit www.enlightenedmedicine.com. You have the power to turn trauma into transcendence. Come bring your shadow into the light so you can begin to truly heal and grow today.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Coffee with the Universe. Today we're having this debate, this very confusing debate about, is it possible to experience joy in every moment? There are some people, enlightened ones, spiritual philosophies that say, yes, it is possible. And there are some that say, well, you know, by thinking positive thoughts, you know, you can maintain that. And then there's others that say, no, you need to, you know, acknowledge and be okay with the you know, negative emotions and sadness and you know, weigh all feelings equally. So it's a very confusing predicament we find ourselves in. Should we try to find happiness? Should we create it? Should we think positively all the time? Should we not? Should we acknowledge how we're feeling? Is that going to work out, you know, worse for us because now we're attracting negative things? And so in this last section of the show today, I want to talk about some of the things that I've been using to step away from these messages and just allow myself to be. You know, the first is I was talking to my producer here, Jacob, during the break, and just kind of asking as I'm talking what his feedback is, like what is he getting from all of this? And one of the things came up is just, it's almost an encouragement to look at your motivations behind happiness. We so often run through our day being busy, doing things that we really don't stop and think about, what am I doing? Why am I doing them? What is my intention? Is what I'm doing, like consciously creating what I want for myself? Again, assuming that we're going with, you know, do we want to create what we want? Do we want to look at life through this preferences vision, or is that just suffering? But again, are we even stopping to think about this? Are you stopping to think about how you've created joy thus far? Has it been by, you know, buying things through material stuff, through shopping? Has it been trying to seek it from loved ones, from other people? Has it been, you know, by diving into your career? Are you trying to seek joy that way? And if we look at how we're trying to find happiness, there is some issues around that. And I, like for myself, I've often tried to find happiness in my relationships, both like friendships and also romantic relationships. But the problem with that is, like, other people got their own shiz going on. And if I am relying on other people, places, or things, even a career, to bring me that sense of joy, then I'm going to be sorely disappointed in the long run, because people in my life are not responsible for my happiness. My work in the world, like a boss or even the wellness center that I do some work with, that entity is not responsible for my happiness. I mean, things happen. You know, with COVID, we know that for sure. People have lost jobs. Businesses have closed. So when we are attaching this sense of happiness to things outside of us, then that is when we create, you know, a sense of disappointment. That's when we set ourselves up for failure. So one thing that I have learned that has helped me in all of this is when I am contemplating the sense of happiness and joy, what exactly am I contemplating, and am I trying to get this outside of myself? And if the answer there is yes, like, oh, by buying this new house that I want to buy, I'm going to be happier, then I need to stop myself and say, you know what, this is just my ego trying to play a game with me. And I'll be honest, our ego, which is our personal self, I've heard it referred to our false self. I've also heard it referred to as that. I don't believe like our ego can be happy. That's not the job of the ego. You know, the ego, its job is to keep us safe. And when there is always a like this operation of I need to keep you safe, well, that's coming from an underlying motivation of fear, of lack, of scarcity. So I do not know that the ego part of our being can be happy. So trying to ask it, how will I be happy, is like trying to ask someone on the streets of Colorado how to find the airport in Boise, Idaho. They're not going to have a clue. They're going to be like, yo, I'm like in Colorado and I'm taking a walk and you're stopping me to ask how to get the airport in Boise. I have no idea. I don't live there. You know, they're going to think you're insane. But we do that to our egos. We say, well, how can I be happy? And we wait to hear this answer. And our ego has no idea. Now, depending on your personality, your ego might really just tell you, oh, I don't know. Or your ego might get really creative like mine does and make crap up. Our egos, you know, many of us have egos that are very creative. Oh, well, I don't really know because I don't live there, never experienced it. But let me tell you what I think, and it will make up something for you to do, you know, in order to find your happiness. So, again, looking at that motivation, where are you trying to find your happiness if it's outside of you, stop. And then thinking about, who am I listening to? What part of me am I listening to? Is it the ego, the part that has no idea, that's just making crap up? Or am I listening to that real, authentic self? And if that's the case, if you're like, you know what, I really don't want to, you know, keep spinning my wheels here, how do I listen to that authentic part of myself? And the best way that I've experienced that is through a regular yoga practice, through breath work, and through meditation. When I do these things every day religiously, it's part of my morning routine. I have a shortened version in the morning, but in the afternoons or evenings, I do a bit of a longer version. When I do that, it stops my mind from chattering enough that I can have moments to myself. I can either feel that joy with, you know, a direct connection to source because I'm, you know, not blocking myself with gunk and thoughts and, you know, feelings and resentments from the day. I can either have those moments where I feel that bliss and joy, or I have like these aha moments where little nuggets of, you know, this is what you need to do come out. It's like I can hear that inner voice speaking to me, and I know it's my inner voice because it never like involves somebody else. It's always like, you know, for me, what I can do, me, not like trying to involve other people or my career or whatever. It's just this internal nudging of, this is what you can be responsible. This is the answer that you seek. So maintaining this yoga meditation practice moves your body, moves your, you know, energy around, which then also quiets the thoughts and the chattery mind so that you can listen to yourself. The fourth thing, I believe this is number four, the fourth thing that I found is using the tapping and not being afraid of moments where I feel miserable for whatever reason, whether it's fear, guilt, shame, grief, loss. Look, we are human beings and we are here on this earth. We are actually spirits and souls that are here to have a human experience. And part of that human experience is going to be feeling negative emotions and having negative thoughts. Now, my goal, my idea on all of this is to be okay when those things come up, because that is the reality of life. We aren't going to be happy every moment again, unless we become an enlightened being and, you know, we just have figured that whole puzzle out. But we are going to experience those ups and downs. And the goal is not to try to suppress that, because we're afraid that if we feel something negative, we're going to attract more negative into our life. The goal is to acknowledge it, to be okay with that, our state of reality, but to not sit in it and wallow in it and live in there forever. The goal is to release, to acknowledge and release. And I found that any time I find moments of stress, unease, when feelings surface, you know, the other day I was doing something and like something triggered a thought about my, you know, losing one of my cats that I actually had a special relationship with. And here I am, and this is like over a year later, I find myself like tearing up, and it's like, wow, that is still stuck inside of me. So I sit down and I do some tapping around it and just release whatever that is. I feel like in order to get closer to that state of enlightenment where we can feel joy and bliss majority of the time, or if not at least all the time, we have to release and get rid of all of the stuff that we have been storing over the years for our entire life. And if you are coming up on 50 like I am, that's a lot. That's like 50 years of stored garbage. So I need to be diligent about acknowledging it's there, releasing it, and, you know, moving forward in that quest for a more blissful, peaceful, happy state. And I do want that for myself. I don't have like this unrealistic expectation that I'm going to find it, you know, right away, or be able, it's like going to click. And then all of a sudden I'm, you know, going to be like Eckhart Tolle living home. Well, I don't, you know, and again, there's my ego. I don't want to like be left homeless. I mean, that doesn't sound like fun. But I have touched those nuggets of that joy. And that is what I want more of in my life. And so when I think of happiness, it's not about what I can get. It's about connecting to that pure source energy, connecting to myself as a soul, and living there most of the time, listening to that voice and just being there while also enjoying the human experience and what life has to offer. All right, so thanks so much for joining me for this very confusing debate. I know, is it possible to experience joy? You know, we just have all of this conflicting information. But, you know, unfortunately in this day and age, we are so inundated by information. It's inevitable in any industry. We get that when it comes to, you know, finances, what to do with our money. We get that when it comes to social media. You know, if you're a business owner, what social media platforms to use. The information is coming at us at a very rapid rate from so many different sources that really, in order to sort it out and find that peace and find that sense of happiness, we need to really go within and stop looking for it outside of us. All right, thank you so much for listening today. I will see you next time on Coffee with the Universe here on Transformation Talk Radio every third Tuesday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for joining me for Coffee with the Universe. Make sure you tune in next time as I continue to share tips and tricks to help you stop waking up anxious, uninspired, and energetically drained in the morning and feel calm, connected to your higher self, and confident instead.
If you would like more information on my morning magic course, please visit CWT.